The people of southern Sudan are about to have their say on the future of their country. They're due to vote in a referendum beginning January 9th. The choice? To remain united with the North or break away and form a new, independent nation. The referendum is the most important stage yet in a peace process which, in 2005, brought an end to almost 4 decades of civil war between the North and the South. Richard Downey is Deputy Director of the CSIS Africa Program, and he's here to help us explain the implications. So, Richard, let's start off with the actual process of voting. How's that going to work?
Well, the referendum will take place, first of all, over 7 days. Southern Sudan is, after all, a very big, undeveloped place. So the organizers want to make sure that those who take part have enough time to get to the voting stations. Voting will also take place in northern Sudan. A lot of southerners live in the north. More than 100,000, in fact, have registered to vote there. There'll also be a chance for southerners who live overseas to have their say. Voting centers have been set up in 8 countries, including here in the United States. Now, in terms of the voting process itself, only those southerners who registered to vote will be able to take part, and about 4 million people took that opportunity. For the referendum to be valid, we need 60% of those who registered have to cast their votes, but a simple majority in favor of secession will be enough to set the South on the road to independence. Now, that independence would come into effect 6 months down the line on July 9th.
So, Richard, when will we know the result, and what do you predict the result to be?
Well, the results are going to take some time to tally up. We could have a delay of about a couple of weeks before the final outcome is known. So that takes us up to around the end of January. In terms of the results, that's not really in doubt at all. All the indications are that if the referendum takes place in a reasonably fair and transparent manner, Southerners will vote overwhelmingly in favor of secession. Now, I was in the southern capital, Juba, a couple of months ago, and I couldn't find a single person who said they would vote for unity on January.
Wow. So with 4 million people registered to vote, obviously there's a lot of logistics that have gone into the preparations for the referendum. Can you tell us a little about that?
Sure. The January 9th date actually has been set in stone for some time, since 2005, in fact, when the North and South signed the peace agreement to end the civil war. But despite all that advance warning, preparations for the referendum got massively behind schedule. Partly, of course, because the North isn't exactly keen to assist a process which could result in the loss of 1/3 of its territory and the majority of its oil revenue, which comes from the South. Despite all that, in recent months, we've seen a big race against time to get the process back on track. You've seen a big push by the international community, and all that effort seems to have paid off. The registration process went off without a hitch, and whereas a few months back the January 9th date seemed unattainable, the organizers have confounded expectations and say that everything is ready to go ahead now on time. Now, the biggest problem to all this process has been in Abyei, which is a contested enclave on the border between North and South. According to the 2005 peace agreement, the people of Abyei were supposed to get their own separate referendum on January the 9th, where they get to choose whether to remain part of the North or to join the South. But preparations for this mini-referendum have never really got underway, because the ruling parties in the North and South couldn't agree on who should be eligible to vote. Now, residency in Abyei is claimed by 2 rival ethnic groups. So the referendum will not go ahead now as planned. The process is deadlocked. As a result, tensions are very high, and people worry that violence could flare up.
So obviously that's a concern. Are there other major areas of concern surrounding the referendum?
Well, the big unknown, I think, is how the North will react if the South goes ahead as expected and votes for secession. Will President Bashir and his ruling party, the NCP, allow the South to break away without a fight? Will it willingly wave goodbye to all that territory and oil wealth? Recent remarks by President Bashir and some of his leading officials have in some respects helped to allay some of those concerns. They've all promised to abide by the results. They said they respect respect the right of Southerners to secede. They've said they're committed to good relations with the South, whatever the outcome. Now, these comments are a positive sign, but we shouldn't take them as a guarantee that peace and harmony is going to somehow break out at the end of this process. There's a lot of rhetoric right now in Sudan. The main actors are trying to appeal to various audiences, both at home and abroad. So at the moment, President Bashir's warm words perhaps seem calculated to keep the international community happy, but his tone could shift very, very quickly. The audience that he really cares about is closer to home in the north itself. His ultimate goal is to hang on to power. If he wants to do that, he has to keep a very close eye on domestic opinion. Now, presiding over the loss of the south is hardly likely to boost his popularity. And if he senses that his position is at stake, it might be in his personal interest to take a tougher line against the South to show he's not willing to let the South go without a fight. Now, all of this is speculation, of course. There's a lot going on inside the ruling NCP party right now that we just simply don't know about. The political situation in the North is likely to be confused and fluid for some time to come, I think.
So if the referendum does come out in favor of secession, there's a six-month gap period before the South actually becomes independent, as you mentioned before. What happens in the meantime?
Well, this six-month period is a really crucial phase when most of the kind of main negotiations between the ruling parties in North and South on how to manage the breakup of the country take place. Now, these negotiations were supposed to have been up and running months ago, but progress so far has been pretty slow. You know, the negotiations deal with a really big wide range of issues. You know, these include things like where the border should go, because that hasn't still been nailed down yet. There's a question of citizenship. You know, what happens to Southerners living in the North and vice versa? How do you divide up Sudan's assets and divvy them up between the two countries? What about Sudan's national debt of more than $35 billion?
It's the one asset they don't want,
probably. Right, exactly. And, you know, so how much of that debt is the South willing to take on? And perhaps the most important question, how do you share out the country's oil revenue, which both the North and the South are so heavily reliant upon? So these negotiations are crucial. They're going to help determine relations between the two sides for years to come. And because there's so much at stake here, there's a risk that any breakdown in the talks could be a trigger for violence. So I think the international community is going to have to stay closely engaged on this and make sure the two sides keep talking.
So speaking of the international community, let's talk specifically about the United States. What role can the U.S. play in keeping peace in Sudan?
Well, the United States has an important role to play. First of all, it's a guarantor of the 2005 peace deal, which it helped to negotiate. So it's closely invested in maintaining this peace. The U.S. didn't always pay enough attention to Sudan in the years immediately after 2005. But that's changed more recently as the referendum has crept nearer. You're seeing a lot of activity now on the diplomatic side, also a lot of assistance going to the South in helping its development. And it needs a lot of that help if it's going to have any chance of becoming a stable and peaceful nation. Looking ahead, though, I think the U.S. will have to pay attention to events in the North just as closely as the South. If the outcome of the referendum is secession, the North is going to feel embittered, isolated, and vulnerable. Now, that's a recipe for instability, and it's not in the interests either of Sudan, its neighbors, or the United States. So I think it's important that the U.S. tries to engage with Khartoum, even if that's a pretty distasteful prospect with President Bashir in charge. Now, the Obama administration has already sought to do this. It's offered a series of incentives, conditional on a smooth referendum and also on a peace deal in Darfur. But it's going to be tricky to follow through with these incentives. Persuading Congress to help normalize relations with Sudan, a Sudan that's led by an indicted war criminal, after all, that's going to be a tough sell.
You can find more resources on the 2011 referendum on the independence of Southern Sudan on CSIS.org.